Who's like the funniest or maybe even your favorite athlete coach that you've gotten to interview?
Ooh. LEX18
presents a podcast with hot takes, hot topics, with your hosts, Megan Mannering and Evelyn Schultz. This is Hot Mic.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Hot Mic. Whether you are listening to us or watching on YouTube, we appreciate you being with us. I'm Evelyn Schultz.
And I'm Megan Mannering. And, you know, we thought to ourselves, who's a person that has nothing going on right now, who's just slacking off, that needs something to do?
Twiddling his thumbs.
You know, Keith Farmer, what does he do in March? Keith, welcome to the pod.
That, and I didn't know you did this in New York. We had to fly all the way up here for the podcast.
Your lunch is comped. Don't worry.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll cover that. Okay. So,
thank you so much. Keith, yeah. You are like actually super, super busy right now. So we appreciate you making the time. And we've been so eager to talk to you and get the whole scoop.
I don't know why, but yeah. Yeah, it is busy with high school basketball and college basketball and Lexington Sporting Club getting ready to play Lou City on Friday. So it's like there's everything going on right now.
I know. Like a sports department in March. Is this the busiest time of year for you guys?
Ooh, it's either this time or it's like what we call the crossover season, like in October, November, when you start getting basketball and football together.
Okay.
And then you're getting a couple of games on a Tuesday and a Friday, and then you got a Saturday football game. So that's probably really the busy. And volleyball's going on. Like, there's a lot happening at that point, you know.
Well, and right now, not only is it March, and you know, whatever happens this month, you all will be there. Then we have April, and then Derby is first weekend in May. So
you all do a lot for that, too.
Yeah, it's just a little bit of downtime there before you have to really start getting into to heavy coverage. Like, I'm already recording all the prep races and saving those so when we do our stories, we're ready to have the video at hand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's already begun. They're getting into the bigger races than did last week.
Do you get to take a vacation in April or, like, in June or something?
I'm going to take a little time off in April.
Okay.
Yeah, to kind of recharge from March into getting ready for Derby.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'll take one off right after Derby.
I gotcha.
As well.
On top of all of this, a member of the sports team is away.
Yeah.
Nick, tell us about that.
Nick Lazaroff, his wife Bree, they had their first baby, Rory.
Congratulations.
And so, yeah, he took the first of his paternity days off, I guess maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And I think he's coming back next week. Thank goodness. And then, you know, because we're at the end of the year trying, we've got SEC specials, we've got an NCAA special and all of that going on. We're not going to allow him to travel as much as he wants to because he's got things to focus on right now. And
Bree
would totally be mad at us if we, you know, had him out on the road. So, but he is going to help out around here for a little bit and then take the rest of his time after.
Well, and he works so hard. You all work so hard, right? Compared to a lot of sports departments, it's not small, but for the amount of work that you all do, you have a pretty small department.
What's really crazy is when I worked in Louisville, there were like almost every station had two people.
And two you're talking people?
Two people to cover Louisville, Kentucky, Indiana, Bellarmine, Spalding, high school sports in Kentucky and Southern Indiana, and you had two people. And yeah, we're lucky we have seven. But
and
it
you're
takes
still
all
running
of us.
Around like crazy.
Yes, it still takes all of us because of all the work we do, you know, being the official station with UK and then trying to make sure that we're keeping up with high schools and Lexington Sporting Clubs and Eastern, Moorhead, all, you know.
Can you walk us through your career journey? You know, you mentioned Moorhead. Talk about college, where you started, what markets you were at before you ended up here in Lexington.
You're a Kentucky boy, right?
Yeah. I am. Yeah, I'm from Richmond. And
your mom is such a loyal LEX18 fan, actually. I want to give her a plug. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She loves to keep up with everyone and runs into people occasionally when they're down in Richmond.
She's on Twitter, right?
She is. Yeah.
Who's your mom?
Dawn Farmer. She was a teacher in Madison County.
Did you run into her? Your mom. No, I see her on social media.
Yeah. Yes.
She's so sweet.
Shout out to Dawn. I love that.
She's going to love that.
Yeah. Hopefully she's listening.
Yeah, yeah. So I grew up in Richmond and just, went to high school at Madison Central, graduated, and I really didn't. It was the first time I had a choice at a school, because you just kind of went from this school to this school and so forth in public school. And so I just felt like I wanted to get out of town a little bit. So I looked around, and Moorhead had a great program at the time. I think it's still a pretty decent program. And so I went up there. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I mean, I grew up with MTV. I grew up with ESPN both starting. Think about that. That's how old I am. So both of those channels started, and in our church, they started recording our services. So I started doing camera work, and I thought, can I put this together and do what I love, which is sports, and, do something. I didn't know what. So I went to Moorhead and kind of got a taste of it by interning at a radio station, went through all those kind of things. And then I found out that we had a TV station, didn't know, and thought, well, I can do that. It's kind of like radio, just kind of look up occasionally at a camera. And so, fun fact, the sports guys that year were me and Kevin McGuffey.
Wait.
Wow.
LAX 18's own, Kevin McGuffey.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, the crime dog, as we like to refer to
the
him.
The crime dog?
Yeah.
What is that nickname?
McGruff. You remember McGruff, the commercials?
Gotcha.
Yeah, he quickly,
McGruff. It sounded worse.
McGuffey, McGruff.
Yeah, the crime dog, whoa. There are some other LEX 18 people who went to Moorhead, right?
Yeah, there's our GM, Sean Franklin.
Yeah.
We got Tim Young, who went there. Who am I going to leave out? Wayne Manning.
Oh,
went there. Let me think. Who else? We've had more. Obviously, the late Billy Williamson went to Moorhead with us. And the funny thing is that we all, like, for the most part, most of us graduated together.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I hope I'm not leaving somebody out. I bet you have like some crazy like stories and memories. You're just saying that because you don't want to spill the tea.
No, I really don't. Other than me and McGuffey doing that, and I remember Sean in class. Like we weren't. We
you guys
weren't
were like
super,
the partying was, on the yeah. weekends.
No.
Who was the most studious?
Probably me.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have guessed Tim. Tim has that like studious energy.
Well, like he was the kind of graduate student. Like grad assistant or something like that.
Okay.
So he was the one that was like, I was looking up to and he was taking us out to do sporting events on the weekends and things like that and getting everything set up, kind of like he does around here. He set everything
he
up.
He always takes care of us.
Right?
So yeah, but no, I was, I don't know.
I feel like Moorhead was the place to be.
Not
at that
a
time.
Nerd, but I was like, I was
nerd adjacent.
I was horrible when I started there. I was lucky I got to stay after the first year or two. But then once I got into all the radio television classes, that's when I was like, oh. And then I got a letter in the mail one day, and I was like, this is, I'm probably getting kicked out. And I looked, and it said I was on the dean's list.
Let's go.
And I didn't know what that meant. I thought, yeah, they're kicking me out,
You're in big trouble.
But it's not that I did anything different. It's just that I loved the work, and I started. Yeah. Doing more of it. You
found the thing you were good at. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever play sports growing up?
Yeah.
Which play?
Baseball when I started, when I was really little, baseball. And then basketball, of course, obviously was big into that. And then played tennis in high school as well. So
do you still play tennis?
It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's one of those sports you can definitely play as you get older, or even, transition to pickleball or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just... Never have. It's also a little harder because you got to find that other tennis person that wants to play.
Yeah.
And meet you somewhere on the weekend or night or whatever.
And kind of match your skills up. And
you
should hook him up with Charlie.
Yeah, my husband is a tennis player.
Okay.
Yeah, he likes to play.
I actually tried to walk on at Moorhead and went through the whole process and I didn't make it. But looking back on it, I'm like, I'm glad I didn't because it's not like UK basketball where you get to practice every day with them.
Yeah.
And then occasionally if there's a blowout game, you get in, and get to hear the crowd. Tennis, you're just going to be a backboard, hitting balls back and forth to the people that do play.
You would have gotten really good at that, though, probably.
Maybe would have gotten better,
You run, right? Or are you taking a break?
I did run, yeah. I was a runner. And
Keith, what are you running from?
I turned 40, and I was like, I got to be here for my boys. Like, because there were people that were like my age that I grew up with. They were having health issues already, and... Mm-hmm. One that was younger that had a heart attack or had a heart, surgery. And I'm like, I got a beer for them. So yeah. I just one day put on my tennis shoes, which were not running shoes, and I took off down the street, and I went like a mile and a half down the street, came back, and yeah. I was like, wow, this, okay, I can do this, you know?
Nice.
And then it became an obsession, like a lot of people probably talk about.
The endorphins, they get you.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you get out in your first race, you know, and you hear all the people cheering for you, and you yeah. see the 70-year-olds running past you, and the 6-year-olds running past you, and it's like, okay, I got to get better at this, you know? So, but I ran for probably, I don't know, it was till the pandemic.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... You know, it was a good 10-12 year run or something like that.
Wow.
That I had. And I ran probably 13 half marathons.
Wow.
And then I ran one full marathon, which I picked the wrong one, but it's okay. And I finished it.
Which one was that?
It was the one in Nashville. It was Music yeah. City. And it's a little more hilly in Nashville than you think it is.
Lord.
And it was not a go. I should have picked a flat one to go, like Indianapolis or something, but...
Definitely.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, me too. I didn't know that. And you said this was for your boys. Tell us about your family.
Yeah, so I got 3 boys that are 30, 27, and 21. The youngest is about to graduate from UK.
Mm-hmm. Exciting.
I had 2 graduates from UK. The middle one, got to remember, we moved here from Louisville in 2013.
Okay.
He was going to be a sophomore in high school, and it was a hard transition for him.
That's a tough age.
Preschool till... Freshman year, he was in Louisville. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he went back and went to U of L and then ended up finishing at JCTC. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the 3 boys coached them all sorts of sports growing up and things like that. And for, again, for the most part, they all grew up in Louisville. Mm-hmm. The youngest has grown up here for the most part. And then we got 2 granddaughters. And so that's the one that moved back towards Louisville. The oldest is Christian. Middle one's Cameron. Mm-hmm. Youngest is Colin. And then we got the 2 granddaughters. And they're in Oldham County. And so it's, you know, so cool that they're close.
How often do you see them, the grandkids?
FaceTime almost weekly, which is like a... There are so many things that are mm-hmm. better on this generation of parents, you know?
Yeah.
Like click lists and like FaceTime, which are awesome. And so, yeah, probably weekly with FaceTime. And then we try and get mm-hmm. up there or they come down here, you know, once a month, maybe. Aww. Maybe a little bit more often. It just depends on what's going on. Like right now, I'm definitely not going to make it up there.
You know. Mm-hmm.
But come April, May, you know, we're going to maybe make a few more trips.
Your face just lights up when you talk about your grandkids.
Yeah.
And I love it when you come in for the 6 and you're like, you got to look at this photo. How have you and Christy transitioned into being grandparents? What's that been like for you guys?
So we weren't ready for it. We had just become empty nesters, but they didn't ask us.
What?
I know. Yeah. I don't know why, but they didn't. No. But it was a shock at first. It was like, oh my goodness.
Well, you all don't look old enough really to be. Yeah, I mean, not that like anyone looks like a grandparent, but if you asked me, oh, is Keith a grandparent?
I would not.
What?
Yeah. And you're a beautiful wife. I wouldn't guess it.
Yeah.
Christy's a redhead. My boys are redheads, mm-hmm. and one of the 2 so far of the granddaughters, a little tinge of red. So it's been kind of cool. It's I don't know. It's just like one of those things you don't. It's kind of like being a parent. You don't think you can do it, and then it happens, and it's like, okay, like just instincts kick mm-hmm, in, right? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a little bit the same with grandparenting, and it's just cool to see your kids have kids.
Yeah.
And then you hear it from everybody, but it's the same. You get to go spend all the time with mm-hmm. them, and then you go, see you later. And then, you know, you get them all hyped up and get them the chocolate and all that. And you take them back and we'll see you next week or 2 weeks from now.
Send them home.
Have you relaxed your, like, I know they're little, but like, I'm sure you were, you know, parenting your boys. You probably had rules for them, you know, with grandkids. Is it going to be like, you can get whatever you want?
A little bit. Yeah. There's a longer leash.
Okay.
Yeah. More leeway. Uh-huh. Whereas it's like, you know, I hear this too, you know, like I'm sure my kids, even not the one that has the mm-hmm. daughters, uh-huh. the other 2 boys are probably like, this is not the guy that I grew up with.
And he's changed.
Yeah. He's so different.
It's gone soft.
And so, yeah. Yeah.
What's their grandparent name for you? Is it just grandpa, granddad,
pap? Granddaddy.
Aww. Granddaddy.
Granddaddy. Yeah.
And they all said, you know, she's not going to be able to say that when the first one was born. She's not going to be able to say that. No problem.
Granddaddy. He's
and
the granddaddy of Elliot's 18.
When I hear her say that, too, it's, you know.
Oh,
yeah. That's so
what
sweet.
What do they call Christy?
Grammy.
Grammy's cute too.
So Grammy and Granddaddy. Yeah.
I like those.
I had a Paul and I had a Granddaddy. And and I don't know. I thought that name sounded a little more like Ritzy. I don't know. Or something. I don't know what you're looking for. Granddaddy.
Yeah. That's fun.
Kind of suits you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't need those like some other, you know. A lot of people nowadays don't want to be Paws and Grannies and things like that. Mm-hmm.
But kind of the older.
It didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Paul. You really say that like a Southerner.
I also called my grandpa Paul.
Yeah.
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 Oh,
well, Pawpaw, but.
My parents are to my nieces and nephews, Granddad and Grammy as well.
Cute.
It's a good combo.
Yeah.
Let's stay on your family for a second before we go back to sports. Who's the most competitive person in your family?
Probably Christy.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
About what?
Name it. Jigsaw puzzle games, sports. Mm-hmm. She yells at the TV at Kentucky and wants to fix it. And so I keep her away from Mark Pope and, and Kenny Brooks because, you know, I don't need that. She's probably, really, honestly, she probably is. Mm-hmm. And after that, probably my oldest, Christian.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he was really competitive. Played baseball all the way through high school. Not in high school, but just all the way through high school in leagues. And Cameron was competitive, but he was one of those that, like, you never knew what he was thinking on the basketball court, which I loved. I love that. You never knew if he's mad. You never knew if he's happy. Mm-hmm. I think that's how people should be out on the court, because then it leaves the defender thinking, like, I can't get in this guy's head.
Yeah. That's a good skill to have.
Right, yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Okay.
So, who's
the most competitive in the LEX18 sports office?
Mm. That's a good question.
Let me think here. boy, that's a Noah/Maggie.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, one of those
one
two.
Of them.
Yeah.
We did ask him who his favorite in the sports office was, and he said, me. That's how it should be.
Bet on yourself.
You have to advocate for yourself.
You do.
Bet on yourself.
Yeah. I have to gush. I feel like we have the best sports department in the state.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Like, the stories that you do, the features, the coverage of tournaments. I mean,
BBN
everything.
Tonight.
BBN Tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, every show is excellent. Really, really good.
Thank you. I mean, it's been a career saver. It's, you know, like, it's extended my career just for the way that, you know, I felt about just things, the way they're going in the business or the way they're going, you know, with way people look at sports. And we're able to tell these stories and people appreciate it. And, you know, and it's not just the scores. I know people like that, but it, being able to highlight a player and let people get to know them. Mm-hmm. And then they come back and you'll be out somewhere and like, oh, I like that story you did on such and such, you know, and it tells you they're listening and that they appreciate it. And so that's been a lot of fun. Again, it does take all these seven people that are in that department to play their part. It's kind of like any team, you know, out there that we're covering to make it happen. And so that's been a lot of fun to get together with a team and to be able to do what we do.
Mm-hmm. Can we back it all the way up really quick?
Let's back it up
to your first market.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Hazard?
Is it was Hazard.
Okay.
Hazard.
Not too far.
No, no. Wow. I've been in the state my whole life, which is, you know, when I was younger, I was probably like a lot of you. I was like, I'm gonna climb the ladder. I'm gonna see how far I can go. And if it's New York, LA, awesome. If it's not, then we'll see how far I can make it. And then got to Louisville and had kids, and it's like, it's a pretty good market. And it, you know, kids were settling into things. We were settling into things, and it's like, I'm not going anywhere. but started in Hazard. This would have been '93. And it was a great place to cover high school sports. We did a little bit of coverage with basketball and football and things like at University of Kentucky, I should say. But for the most part, it was high school and small college. And it just gave you a place to go and make your mistakes and learn. And while they wanted you to be good, they also appreciated, like, okay, you made the mistakes. Let's look at what happened, what went wrong, and try and fix it. And
we've all been there.
Yeah.
Starting out
small
in
markets.
News. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I really loved it. And it was a neat area because Eastern Kentucky really appreciates high school sports and UK sports. And so it was like, if I could have made money down there, I probably never would have left.
Really?
I mean, it's just because it's a small market. You know how it is. They can't, they can only do so much. And, but I loved it. My mom's from Hazard. My dad's from Hyden, which is Leslie County.
Okay.
So right next door. And so, you know, I had family down that way and it was easy to stay and all that. But it was just, again, I was trying to climb the markets.
Sure.
Good place to get your
start.
When
did you leave Hazard, and was your next step Louisville?
No, next step from Hazard was coming to Lexington to LAX 18.
Okay.
And I only came here really as a part-time worker. Christy found a job that was good full-time, and I came in hoping to go from part-time to full-time and hoping to stay in sports, and it kind of didn't really work out. And by the time I left here, I was a full-time news photographer.
Oh, wow.
And
very different.
Yeah, like it went from part-time sports to part-time sports, part-time news, like full-time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was doing 2 or 3 days in each. And then it became, don't need you in sports anymore, and you're in news.
And the new, for people who don't know, that means you're getting sent out to breaking news and house fires and shootings. And
of,
like,
yeah, one of the things I remember most was I was the on-call.
Yeah.
And I got called out to a fire in Paris, and it was downtown, and there was a tree in front of this place that was just, like the house was on fire, or it was a business. It was an old house, but it was a business. And they're fighting this fire, and it was about 20 degrees.
Oh.
And I started to walk up towards there, and the guy said, be really careful, because from all the water, it's ice.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember that being on fire, and at the same time, this tree in front was just covered in ice where they had put the water on. It was like this most incredible view of, you know, beauty and sadness at the same time. But, you know, yes, I covered overnight. There's a murder downtown. I can still drive by spots and remember, okay, I was here for this. I was there for that.
Yeah.
But full-time photographer.
That has to give you some serious appreciation for what the photogs do.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I've been you know, behind the scenes enough to see what that's like and to appreciate. I mean, I've been a photographer my whole career because you had to do that in Hazard as well.
And you still do it.
And I still do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even at 72, I still have to put the camera on my shoulder and go out and shoot games.
Yeah.
But that's just what we do.
So while you were shooting news, were you thinking, I really want to get back to, or full-time sports coverage. That's what I want to do.
Yeah. I was totally like trying to get a job in town or, you know, anywhere. I really didn't care. I didn't even care if it was a step backwards in markets or anything like that. I wanted to be back in sports so bad. And I was probably not a good, happy employee at that time back then because of, you know, just not doing what I wanted to do. And so I was looking around and, all of a sudden, somebody contacted me about this job that was open in Louisville at WLKY. And I just didn't even think much about it, but I thought, I've got to try. I'm, you know, but how am I going to get this sports job? I'm just, you know, a news photographer. But I guess I had enough on my reel that I was able to put it on there, and it helped get me the job. And I was fortunate as well because there were three people there. So it's like they could take a chance on a number three guy coming in. And for the most part, being a photographer in sports, but also reporting and occasionally filling in anchoring, you know, so it's like they could take more time to develop me.
So you were in Louisville for more than a decade.
I was there 13 years. Yeah.
Wow.
And Derby of this year will be 13 years back.
Wow. Okay. So what was the process, or what was that call like when the position opened here in Lexington?
So up there, things were just kind of like, I was working with a guy who had been there for like 40 years. He wasn't going anywhere. And I'm stuck on weekends for 13 years.
For 13 years in a row, you're on weekends.
Weekends.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
My days off were Monday, Tuesday. I'm working Saturday, Sunday. At some point, it became a thing where, again, it was just the, we had three, but then it became just the two of us. Well, he's not going to work, you know, extra weeks. Sometimes he would, you know, on game days, he would work on Saturdays. Then I'm working Saturdays, Sundays myself, and on Saturday nights we had a half-hour show that I'm producing myself, editing myself, hoping I have interns that can help me edit, things like that, you know. And so it was becoming a grind, and so I was starting to look. I was interviewing outside of TV. I was trying to find things, you know, just to do. And So then one day I was coming down. I didn't always – we're not always around because of UK basketball mm-hmm. or when I was in Louisville, UK, U of L, IU. We're not always around for the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. But I remember I happened to be coming in, and I saw Mary Jo Perino, who was the sports anchor at the time. And she was – I guess I'd maybe heard. And so I talked to her, and she said, yeah, I'm going to be leaving such and such date. And she said, you should put in for it. I was like – yeah, I guess I could, you know. Mm-hmm. So I did, and it was the same news director, assistant news director that was here that had previously been here when I was here in the late 90s. So put in for it. Vividly remember having some conversations when I was on the road covering Indiana. Went from covering Indiana in Dayton to covering Indiana in Washington, D.C., and all along that way, I unfortunately had to fill in my photographer who was with me because I was like, you're going to hear some things here on this call. Yes, I am in discussions about a job. And so, just remember kind of almost solidifying it mm-hmm. while I was on the road covering Indiana in the NCAA tournament.
And crazy.
Yeah, it was kind of surreal and, you know, spent 3 years plus here before, and so, you know, to think I could come back here and be Monday through Friday mm-hmm. and all that was awesome, working with Alan Cutler again.
Was he your boss at the time?
He was the sports director at the time.
Okay, but yeah. The one to hire you or
Yeah. And honestly it was the it was the easiest hiring process I've ever been through because I really didn't even have to send a reel in. Yeah. I think I did send a resume, I'm not sure. And I also remember one of the last like things that I negotiated. I was like, am I going to go back to 2 weeks of vacation? Because I was getting a lot in Louisville. I'd been there so long.
Yeah.
He's like, well, what do you get up there? I was like, I get 5 weeks up there. He goes, oh, yeah, we'll give you that too. I was like, all right, I'm in.
You get five weeks of vacation?
Yeah.
Really?
You probably get more now.
I never even see you take a vacation.
Well, that's true. I sneak out. You know?
Yeah.
Well, but no,
it was neat. It was really a neat process and an easy process. Yeah. And the thought of coming back close to home mm-hmm. where family could see me again. And I hated leaving Louisville. I loved it. I loved Louisville. Mm-hmm. And that's where my kids were growing up, and that made it hard to leave. But then, my wife and my youngest son just fell in love with Lexington. And yeah. I mean, it was easy for me mm-hmm. too, because I love this area. I grew up in this mm-hmm. area. We came to Lexington all the time, and getting to cover Kentucky was special again. I mean, I've covered three NCAA champions here from 96, 98, and 2012. Mm-hmm. I remember my dad vividly. I thought he was going crazy when in 1978 he was jumping up and down watching the 1978 team mm-hmm. win the national championship. And now I'm working with Jack Goose Gibbons.
That's incredible.
I mean, yeah. It's just unreal on, BBN Tonight and BBN Game Day to have him in there and asking mm-hmm. him questions.
Oh, yeah.
To walk in and hear him say, Keith. I'm like, it's like, who knows who I am?
Yeah, right. He knows my name.
Like, that's the guy I looked up to.
That's so cool.
Totally. What are some of the other pinch me moments that you have had or that you continue to have in this job?
Again, getting to know some of these mm-hmm. players on a personal level, even going back to like, my first job in Hazard, one of the first people I covered was Tim Couch when he was a sophomore in high school. And then all of a sudden he blows up to become this person that everybody in the country knows. And mm-hmm. he could have gone to almost any school mm-hmm. and he ends up coming to Kentucky. That's when I moved to Lexington the first time.
Yeah.
And so I got to keep covering him. And then his first game in Cleveland, somebody couldn't go for us. Mm-hmm. And I think it was 99 in Cleveland. They're playing Pittsburgh, which I'm a Steelers fan.
Yeah, it's tough.
And so I got to go up there, and they said, we got two passes. Might have been a little easier back in the day. Mm-hmm. I took my dad, and I gave him an LEX18 shirt. I'm thinking he's going to be able to walk the sidelines with me. No, that was one thing that was different. He had to be in the press box, and I could be on the field shooting. So I'm down on the field shooting. I'm all worried about him. I go up at halftime, and he's sitting around a table with real journalists, real sports reporters, and he's just having like a dinner or something like that, and just chatting it up. And I was like, He's good. Yes. I'm going to go back down. And then Tim Couch got in the game. I took my dad into the locker room, who, again, both from Leslie County. And he actually went to school with Tim's dad.
Oh, wow.
So take him into the locker room, and he holds the microphone as I'm interviewing Tim Couch after his first professional football game. So that was a really cool moment to be able to, you know, see that and to enjoy it with my dad. And other than that, just, you know, national championships that I've been able to cover, I mean, have been special, you know, all through my career. And my two favorite moments have been, I got to cover Little League World Series. Actually got to do it three times.
That's fun.
And growing up watching that was just kind of surreal, going to see the fields, and you get there and you're like, oh, this is it. Yeah, they are Little League fields. You know, you're expecting this grand stuff. But really cool. The first time I did it was in Louisville. The team went all the way through and beat Japan in the finals. And so it was really cool. And it was like a uniting moment in Louisville that you just don't get if you've not lived there before.
Yeah.
In Louisville, you can live next door to UK fan, Louisville fan, down the street might be an IU fan, you know, a Michigan or whoever, you know, Ohio State. And then that moment, it brought everybody together for this one team. So that was really cool. And then the Ryder Cup was at Valhalla, and that was unreal. I mean,
that seems,
you know,
like a sports fan's ultimate and a golf bucket
fan,
list item.
You know,
So
that was really neat. And they hadn't won in a while, and they won it there with two Kentucky guys on the roster. So, you know, it was really, really neat.
Who's like the funniest or maybe even your favorite athlete coach that you've gotten to interview?
Ooh. Wow. There have been so many.
It's really hard picking children, probably, right?
Yeah, yeah. It really is. I mean, I'm trying to think. Boy. Yeah.
What about interviewing Coach Cal? What was that like?
You never knew what you were going to get, because sometimes you would ask him a question, he would give you a really solid answer, and sometimes he would, you know, you'd ask him, you know, about the sky and, you know, is it blue? And he'd be like, hey, but how about the grass, you know? And he'd go a totally different way.
Tangents,
I don't know. You just,
yeah.
He'd just, you'd ask him a question and he would just take it another way, you know, or you'd ask him about, hey, how about Oscar tonight? Yeah, but how about this player, you know?
That's hard as a journalist.
After Oscar has, you know, 25 points and 20 rebounds, and he wants to talk about somebody else. And, just would, you know, kind of take it a different way.
You kind of have to, like, always be, I mean, in news in general, you have to always be prepared. But in sports especially, it seems like you really have to be able to pivot. And you have to know your stuff, because if the coach decides they want to talk about somebody else, you have to know what they're talking about.
Or, like, you know, Rick Pitino was tough on journalists. Now, he wasn't mean. He wasn't a Bobby Knight. But sometimes he could just call you out on it. Like, you know, what am I going to tell you what the game plan is? You know, or something like that. You know, if you're asking about how he's going to attack some team or something, you know. And, well, you know, what am I going to. And he'd be tough on you, you know, but.
Toughest interview, would you say? Toughest coached interview?
Probably, probably the toughest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the toughest for sure. Yeah.
Do you learn to learn people's quirks and know what's going to maybe set them off or?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Or ways you can work your way into making them comfortable with you kind of thing, you know, to where it's easier to ask a question.
When it comes to the national championships, which one was the most hype?
Oh, 2012 probably was the most hype one, just because it was expected, you know, although they were a young team and they were full of freshmen, it was still almost expected. So you were like, I don't know, there were still some good teams. I mean, they had to beat a good Louisville team in the Final Four, and then they had to beat a really good Kansas team. And, you know, so I think that was part of it, knowing that they were – the 96 team was just so good. You knew they were going to run through everybody, or you expected them to, you know. So maybe hype in that aspect that, you know, will they get it done because they should. And then the 98 was the one that was unexpected. So, you know, that was a lot of fun covering that one.
All hype in different ways, I guess.
Yeah. I asked Tom Hammond the same question, but what's the best sports environment that you have been in?
So first off, I'm glad you had Tom Hammond on first, because I would not have done this if you did not have Tom Hammond. I probably shouldn't have done it without having Alan Cutler on. Maybe Ryan Lemond as well. Because
Can you secure them for us? I can help you
out with them for sure. Because those are like the people I looked up to, you know, growing up, as well as some others in the market. But I'm sorry, question again. I had to get that out.
Greatest sports atmosphere that you have covered a sporting event in?
Citrus Bowl with Kentucky football was pretty special. You know, because those had not come along very often, and to have Mark Stoops take them like he did in that one and to win it was incredible. The fans just showed up for that one. And then in 2012, when Kentucky won it, it was in the Superdome down in Louisiana, New Orleans. Yeah. And they had given out these, God, it was a bank or something, seats to sit on, right? So you've got just these square things that you put under you to sit on and you know, get comfy and everything. Kentucky wins it. And these things start getting thrown. Confetti's coming down, too.
Yeah.
But these things are getting thrown, and we're down there, like, kind of dodging these things. Those were a couple of good moments. And then another atmosphere at Rupp Arena. There's a game where Kentucky played against North Carolina, and it was both teams ranked, you know, just everybody was loud from the start. It wasn't the, you know, the little rough crowd that likes to golf clap. And it was the game where Tayshaun Prince comes out. He hits a three-pointer, gets the ball, hits another three-pointer, hits a third one. And then finally he comes down, he hit one, and it was his fourth three-pointer. I mean, the crowd's already going ballistic. And they got a rebound. They hand it to him. He comes down, barely gets across midcourt, lets another one go from the logo, and nails it. And that's what I said is one of the loudest I've ever heard Rupp Arena. It's either that or John Wall, also against North Carolina, with a reverse that he had. And those are probably the two loudest moments I've ever heard Rupp Arena. Just
is it hard to, when you're in that setting and the crowd is losing it and the game is so exciting, to remember, like, oh, I have to film this. I have to be looking through a little teeny lens right here.
The only time I've done that, and so no to that point. The only time I've done that is when I was a news photographer the first time. They sent myself and John Wesley Brett, who was a reporter here, to Louisville to get Muhammad Ali at, I'm going to forget what this place is called, but he had boxed there before. It's downtown.
Okay.
It's an old gym where they used to do the 6th and 7th region basketball tournaments. He walks into this room, and I've got the camera on my shoulder, and he starts doing some of his, you know, this kind of thing to some people, and he's getting ready to do a magic trick that he always did where he used to always hide a handkerchief, but he had like a fake thumb, you know, and he'd pull it off.
I didn't know he was into magic.
He's doing all that, you know, and this is really, he's probably not talking as much at that point. That's that's the point where he's about to stop talking. And I realize I've got the camera on my shoulder, and I'm watching this. I'm taking this in because this is one of the most iconic sports people ever, you know, in the history of sports. And I'm, oh, I've got to, like, you know, start shooting this, or we're going to have nothing, and this is what we were sent here for.
But you almost do have to take a second, right? Sometimes because
gotta
have
the
stories.
It's such a cool job at the end of the day.
Like, I have not been wowed by a lot of sports, you know, athletes. Been around Tiger Woods. I've been around NASCAR drivers, pro sports, LeBron. Nobody's ever really gotten me like Muhammad.
Yeah.
And maybe Jack Nicklaus a little bit because I was, you know, big fan of his growing up. But those are really the only two. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
Have you ever had a really bad flub up on air?
Yeah. So when I was working in Hazard, we didn't do a lot of live shots down there because this is back in the day when you had satellite trucks and live trucks. And live trucks just wouldn't work in eastern Kentucky with the mountains.
Yeah.
So we would have to get the other station's satellite truck that we were connected with that would come down. And it was the playoffs for football. And so I guess I had an earpiece because we use earpieces. And I'm standing there and I can't hear anything and I'm getting ready to do my 6 o'clock live hit. And I'm like, I can't hear anything. And somebody said, I think it was the engineer for the live truck said, turn around so that they know you're not hearing anything.
And they
won't take you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Like just turn around, show them your back and that way they won't take you, you know? And
is that a thing?
I mean, I would hope that, like, if we were
right,
out
yeah.
at the SEC tournament and I turned around and showed them my back, they yeah. wouldn't, like, pop us up on camera, but
they would figure out what was going on.
They okay. did, but they did.
Wait, they took the shot?
Yeah.
How and long was your back on?
It must not have been very long, but it was long enough to say, uh-huh. what's up? You know, like,
why are you doing that?
Why is that guy standing there with his back to me? And so, yeah, that was kind of a little bit embarrassing.
That's always demoralizing early on yeah. in your career when things yeah. like that happen. Now I feel like, whatever.
I've always been super careful about any time you got a mic on, not saying a whole lot. Like, yeah. you know, yeah. sure. I mean, I'm not bad about anything, but it's just like you don't even want to be like. I know there have been a couple times we've been coming back after right before the final weather with Bill Mack, and yeah. sometimes we're like, you giggling. Got 30 seconds or something, or you know, and you hear. Blah, blah. But yeah, no,
that's never our fault
careful.
Though.
No,
it's Bill and Larry.
No,
blame
no.
it on them.
Well, Bill doesn't wear an earpiece, so
correct.
He doesn't know.
And yeah, so sometimes he's. Yeah. Talking about something.
We're guilty of it in the mornings, too. Yeah. Even if they give us time cues.
You
sometimes.
Can get away with so much in the morning.
That's
so.
True. Yeah. Right. We do get away with a lot. Yeah. Yeah. That's the perk of getting up, I guess, that early in the morning. I do want to ask you. I actually asked someone for a hot take to give you. Sierra Newton.
Okay.
In your office. She's been on the pod. Mm-hmm. And this, I can't take credit for this, but this was her hot take that she wants you to answer.
Ooh.
You can only choose one team to root for the rest of your life. Is it the Tottenham Spurs or the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Probably the Pittsburgh Steelers because I've been with them the longest.
Okay.
Like, that's, we're talking 70s with them. Tottenham I picked up on in like 2012 or something.
So it doesn't go
yeah.
as far back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think
you're
that's an easy.
Yeah.
That was actually an easy take.
Yeah, that actually wasn't. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That wasn't tough at all.
Come on, bring it tough.
Crazier / better fan base, Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky. Okay. Yeah.
Any
easy.
Day.
Easy. Any day, maybe almost every sport. I mean, that's the thing is that I've been amazed by since I've been back.
Mm-hmm.
Before I left here, you know, in 2000, the first time, 2000, there you did not see a lot of Louisville stuff here
mm-hmm.
in town.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Louisville and you see Kentucky stuff everywhere and Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, but you see Kentucky everywhere. So you think about that. Now that I've been back, I'm seeing a lot more Louisville stuff here. Probably because of, you know, maybe the Patino days or, you know, football started getting bigger there. And so, and mm-hmm. probably some people moved down here with jobs. I don't know, but they became a little more bold with wearing
okay.
it here, but it's still not, it's trust me, it's nothing like Louisville and the fan base at Kentucky. Just when you, I mean, went to the Bahamas with the basketball team, and there were so many fans that were down there.
That's incredible.
It's crazy. And then they yeah. can go to London and play
mm-hmm.
and packed out Kentucky fans. You know, Atlanta has one of the largest UK alumni fan bases. Birmingham, Alabama does. I mean, they're everywhere. You know,
I notice a lot of, maybe I'm just tuned in now that I live here, but when I travel, you know, in Vegas, I saw a ton of people wearing Kentucky shirts.
Yeah.
I was like, are we all here at the same,
yeah.
at the same time?
Sure. And places like that are going to give them reasons to go.
Totally.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then you're going to find places where it's like,
yeah.
like New York City, when we went up there,
yeah. mm-hmm.
they have a bar that's dedicated to UK.
That's so
you know,
fun.
It's a, yeah. It's a guy that, I don't know if he's from here or if he became yeah. a fan, mm-hmm. what, but it's just,
that's
yeah,
cool.
you walk in there and there's UK memorabilia. There was
yeah.
a Wildcat out front, a blow-up Wildcat out front.
I love
gotta
that.
Gotta make you feel
sign.
Good when you see
oh,
that in
yeah.
a different state.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. The bluegrass and the Big Apple.
I don't know how old you are, but I think you have like really young energy. And I feel like maybe part of that is because Sierra,
Maggie,
right.
Hannah Hamelback, Noah, Nick.
And Jesse's not old.
Everyone else in the room, basically.
Well, but I've like, I that does sound kind of bad.
Yeah.
I don't mean
that's,
it like that.
No, that's okay.
But like Sierra, for example, she's so like, she's very hip,
yeah.
up with pop culture. Like, have they taught you anything? Like, do you feel like you're more in the loop because
maybe a little
them?
Bit of, you know, keeping up. I think for the most part, they talk behind, not behind my back, but they start discussing pop culture stuff,
uh-huh.
you know, when I'm not in the room or, you know, yeah. I might walk in on a conversation. They're talking about somebody.
Have they taught you about any cool music or anything?
I try to teach them about cool music, but they got their own. And mm-hmm. yeah, no.
What cool music are you? Do you like?
Yeah.
What cool music do you like?
I'm still stuck on the older stuff. Okay. I'm not as much into the pop of today's. I don't know. I mean, I like Bruno Mars, and you know, there's some others I like, but like I just went down to Nashville for a Yacht Rock concert.
Love
He's
Yacht
a
Rock.
Yacht Rock guy. So, I feel like you're a Yacht Rock.
I'm a Yacht Rock gal.
Yeah. Yeah.
How fun.
Yeah, and then like Hall & Oates is who I like growing up. Chicago, yeah. Journey.
Yeah,
I saw Hall & Oates in concert, and they were so good.
Yeah, we may not see that anymore.
before the drama.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, they are really good.
Okay, well that's good music though to teach the younger generation about.
Yeah, does that keep it fun and lively though that you do have like these young people that are at a point in their career that you were once in where they're like hungry and climbing the ladder?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I see it in them. Like I'm in this different stage of career where it's like, I'm not putting a reel together and, you know, I'm not, all that stuff. It's just like the energy that they have. I mean, you say I've got energy, the energy they have and the, you know, like Noah the other day was like, I guess we're just, you know, are we doing a live game day on Saturday? Cause we really record those on Friday and he's dying to do a live game day. And that means like, probably if Kentucky on Friday wins a game real late, we're staying here doing something till 1 a.m. and then we got to be back here at like 7 a.m. And he's like all about, oh yeah, let's do this. You
I'll
know,
sleep
and
at the station.
He's like, yeah, let's just, I want the long days, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, work smarter, not harder, you know?
Like, yeah.
You've been there, done that.
I've been there, done that.
You did the long days.
But I see all that and I see the drive and the, you know, wanting to tell those stories, which I want to do too. But it's like, I see them like just, you know, where is it?
All that being said, the sports team is working hard and they are hustling.
Yes.
To get things done.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so let's do a little preview. So this is March. This is a really busy time. Mm-hmm. What should viewers and listeners be looking out for this month? Do you guys have any specials, any big coverage?
We do have, and I'm going to forget exactly what they are. We have, I think it's a half-hour SEC special that we're going to be doing for I think that's going to be the week of the men's tournament. And then we have an NCAA, I think it's an hour-long special. Okay. So we got to wait and see what the Selection Sunday holds for that team before we get that going. But hopefully the women are going to be hosting. They probably have a little bit of work to do in the SEC tournament to make sure that they can be a host. If not, we'll see where they head on the road, and we'll be covering all of them as well.
Exciting times
ahead. So much excitement. My last question for you, Keith, you know, 13 years in Louisville, 13 years here. Like you said, you know, you've been through the grind and now you're at this different place in your career. What keeps it fun?
I think it's like, that was the thing with news to me was a grind of like, you know, just a lot of downer stuff. Now, not always, you know, there were fun stories to do. But as a photographer getting called out overnight or things like that, that was just, it was hard. And so I think for me, it's the storytelling of new people every year, you know, and getting to see, especially with NIL and with transfer portal, especially with the transfer portal, you're getting so many different people coming into the programs. You see new high school kids who, you know, a lot of times make their mark their junior, senior year. So every couple of years, you're getting new people coming up and making their mark. And so I think it's just fun to see everyone excel and to see who is going to be that top team every year in the high school ranks. And that just makes it fun. It makes it interesting to see not only how the team's going to do, but how the individuals are going to do.
A lot of good storylines.
Yeah.
And getting to do it in the state where you grew up.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, you know, the only place I really haven't worked is far western Kentucky. And I've traveled it a little bit. But, yeah, it's so cool to have connections to all those areas that I can still go back to.
Mm-hmm. My final question for you is who had the best beard for No Shave November?
Oh, come on now. I mean, it was a little gray. But, I mean, the fullness of it, right?
Yeah.
Who had the worst?
Burke.
Michael Burke, you think?
No, I'm not. I don't know. I don't know if anybody had a bad one.
Everyone contributed.
Tom Ackerman's is actually pretty good.
It was a team effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's funny. Like, viewers won't call in to give us feedback on stories, but they will call in to say whose beard they like and whose beard they do not.
Yeah. Who can
actually? I got a lot of people who said they did not like mine, and that they like even
they
since
nice
they're
it?
Like, I'm glad you shaved that. You know,
you like the beard though. That's what counts.
I liked it. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's probably going to be...
Did your wife like it?
She was like, if you like it, you can have it. But she was not a huge fan of it.
Okay. She was one of those people calling the station.
But I think when I get to retirement, whenever that happens, I might have to go like ZZ Top and like really let it grow.
Ooh.
Can you even imagine, like, 30 years from now, we see a picture of Keith and he has like this long beard?
He'll be back on the podcast to talk about... That beard.
I'm not working 30 more years.
That's we'll come to you.
Yeah.
We'll come to your...
Come to
we'll
my
come
home.
To your nursing
home. My home I'm in.
Yeah, and do the interview there. That would be... It's a date.
All right, got it
we'll
in
make
the calendar.
It
Keith Farmer, thank you so much for taking the time out
no
of
problem.
A very, very busy season for
yeah.
you. This
no
was
problem.
So fun.
I know it was fun. You probably have like a list of 10 things to do today, huh?
No, 9, I think it is.
This was the 10.
Yeah, yes,
are you relieved that you've checked this one off? I know you were nervous.
Yeah, I was nervous.
It wasn't that bad,
journalist,
was it?
I'm just a guy who tells scores.
Oh, please.
You're a journalist.
I'm just glad you didn't make me cry.
You are. I said this to Bill last week. You're on the Mount Rushmore of LEX 18 figures.
There are way... You already had Tom Hammond. He's on there.
We're expanding Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. There's a lot of people, I think, that deserve that title.
Yeah, well,
it's
we need
to
be
pick.
Up there, obviously.
We're making our way, hopefully.
We love it. Keith, thank you so much.
Thank
Best
you.
Of luck as you guys get into this crazy, crazy season.
Appreciate it.
We'll be watching.
Yes, we will. And to our viewers and listeners, thank you so much. We will see you next week on another... Where's camera?
Every time.
Every time.
We mess it up.
We'll see you next time on another episode of Hot Mike.